Hello and welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And now this week you've gone down with something and I'm the one that's been a bit more chip chip cheerio.
Well, I was also unwell last week. It was just less obvious.
I nearly died last week. It's true. I went into work and I said to Barry, if you don't believe that I was not sick, take a listen to last week's episode.
Barry being your boss.
Barry being my boss, yeah.
The people out in Radio Land maybe don't know that about you.
Don't know who my boss is?
But you have a boss named Barry.
It's true.
Barry can be abbreviated to Baz.
Oh, Bazza.
And some people also have called me Baz as a short form for Sebastian.
Really?
Yeah.
Who calls you Baz?
When I was in high school,
okay.
There was a guy named Daryl, or Daryl, we used to call him sometimes. Yeah.
I had a good friend. Well, I wasn't a good friend. He was the sort of sullen guitar player in like a heavy metal cover band.
Okay.
That I knew.
Okay.
I had a thing for the singer, obviously. And a good friend of mine was the drummer.
I always have a thing for the drummer. It's weird.
It was a lady in this case.
Okay.
Well. Actually, no. It was, they alternated between my friend Amy and this friend Geraint, G-E-R-A-I-N-T, Geraint.
Must have been when you were still living in Wales.
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
And he was Geraint Thomas, and his brother was Gareth Thomas. No, sorry, Gareth was on the drums and his brother was Geraint. And it was Gaz and Gaze. Although I can never quite say his name right without just saying, sounding like the Gaze.
The Gaze, yeah.
Yeah, because it was Gazza and Gaze, or okay. Gazza. Gazza and Gazza was their... the short forms.
We got fan
Gareth
mail.
Gareth and Geraint. Yeah, we did get...
We should do a shout-out to this guy.
Yeah, thanks to Shay, who messaged us on the Book of Faces. And that was really nice. It was really nice to get a message from a listener who said that we are, and I quote, refreshingly level-headed.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate, which is very nice.
We balance each other out, you and I.
Yeah.
Actually, it's rare that we disagree. Normally what we do is we agree overall, but we disagree on the details.
No, I don't think you're right here. I think what the real situation... I'm just kidding.
Or it'll be like, I'm at a 2 and you're at an 8. And, yeah.
You know, it was really nice to hear from Shay and the message that came through on our Facebook. You can also message us at TalkCanQueer on Twitter and Facebook. It's always nice to hear from listeners. Apparently our time slot has changed at CFUV in Victoria. If you're listening to us on there, we hope that you can still catch us, if not catch us, on the podcast.
Victoria, BC. We're not in Victoria, Australia?
No, we are in New Zealand.
We are in New Zealand, which is quite... Wait, nice. Is it Victoria, New Zealand, or Victoria, Australia? One of them has a Victoria. Actually, they probably both have a Victoria.
There's a lot of Victorias.
They probably have like 5 Victorias in different provinces because history is uncreative.
Because of the whole colonialism. Sorry about that, guys.
Ontario used to have all sorts of really interesting community names. And then it was some lord or another. I think it was Lord Nelson. It was either Lord Nelson or the other guy. Came through and basically said, like, what's with all this foreignese nonsense? And just, like, renamed everything. Like, well, you're Paris now. You're London now. You're...
Cardiff. Yeah. Cardiff, Ontario is an actual place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Moscow, Ontario is because it's, like, 80% of Russian descent. And there are so many Russian speakers there that Russian is actually one of the languages of commerce in the community.
Wow.
So that's fair. I think that's fair to call them Moscow or Little Moscow or New Moscow.
And they don't have a Kremlin. They have a Krispy Kreme.
Are there Moscow. Krispy Kremes in Ontario?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if there's one in Moscow, but...
Gluten makes me explodey, so I'm not sure. Which, actually, we're going to come to that soon about...
We're coming to your gluten explosions?
Yes.
Okay.
It will be relevant.
All right. Well, I'm going to start off with, much like Sebastian's unsolicited information about his gluten explosions.
Yeah.
One thing that was unsolicited was actually banned, and it's a shame because I've already told you the state, but it's not one you would expect. So for our listeners...
I would, though, because here's the thing. Here's the big hint. The state has a reputation for being deeply conservative, but the two largest cities in this American state also have a reputation for being two of the most progressive cities in America. Mm. So whenever you're talking about anything that happens here, it's always a urban-rural fight for what's going to happen at the state legislature. And if you don't know what we're talking about so far, like, clearly we are talking about Texas.
And clearly we're talking about dick pics. Well, anyways, according to Fox News, but in this case I think it's their actual news arm, in Texas they've introduced a new law.
Right.
And this is an interesting law.
Right.
Because what it means is the electronic transmission of a sexually explicit image of video is considered a Class C misdemeanor, resulting up to a fine of $500. Essentially, your unsolicited dick pics are now a misdemeanor fine.
Or booty hole pics.
Booty hole pics.
Booty hole pics would also. Now, here's why I'm actually quite in favor of this. And it kind of leans itself into an old debate that, like, everyone from philosophers to 4chan have covered, which is, how different is the internet and cyberspace from real life? And depending on where you land on this will probably be a very good predictor on where you land on a law like this. Mm. So if you're walking down the street and you see a cute guy, do you just unbuckle, drop trout, turn around and show him your butthole on the street? Probably not. So if you're the type to believe that the internet is real life, or at least an extension of real life, then sending a booty hole pic to somebody who did not ask for one should be illegal.
Yeah.
Whereas if you think that the internet is not real life, then I think you can get into gray space. And if you're walking down the street and you see someone who's very attractive and then they stop you and they say, I'm terribly sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you while you're walking your dog.
But here's a Polaroid of my penis.
Could you show me your butthole right now? And if you're willing to, then by all means.
But I don't think that's a real thing that happens. Now, what's interesting...
Well, I mean, not with that attitude.
Are you familiar with Bumble?
That's the one that ladies and then you match and then only the lady can start the conversation.
Yeah, it's a women's focused dating app that's based or headquartered in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Now, it was the Bumble CEO that was kind of partly behind the big push for this law.
Right.
Because what they found was that there was not necessarily escaping, but there was no real practical ways to stop unsolicited dick pics.
Okay.
I think the way Bumble's built is a lot better than some of the other ones. But if you're on any gay dating apps, you're sort of inundated with unsolicited dick pics.
Well, I'm not.
Texas.
Yes, Texas.
They described it as digital sexual harassment.
I can see that, yeah.
Dick pics.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, like, as I said, like, I do believe that the internet is a specific medium that is distinct from reality, but I do think that the internet is an extension of the real world, and we shouldn't treat it as not being an extension of the real world. So if somebody sends me pictures that I did not ask for about body parts that I'm not yet ready to see,
mm-hmm.
I would view that the same way that if I were at a gay club or at a party or something.
And somebody exposed themselves. Yeah.
Now, at least in that case, it would be a medium where that could happen. Like if I were at a circuit party or in a gay bar and somebody just came up to me and pulled down his pants, I would react to that in the same way that I would react to an unsolicited dick pic, as opposed to grocery shopping and somebody just flashed me. Like that would be, I would definitely.
So are you saying that dating apps are spaces where it's more expected?
It's expected. Now that doesn't make it acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a huge difference between saying this is the kind of space where it could happen, brace yourself, versus this is the kind of space where it should happen. Because should, I think, is a very complicated word and we should avoid it at all costs, even though I just said we should avoid it. So
yeah. I don't know. I agree with this law. I think it's actually a very nice law to come out of Texas. I wasn't expecting it.
But if somebody says, do you mind if I send you dick pics? And you say,
please, sir, may I have inappropriate images of your body?
Yeah. You can request them. You can request to send them. And if the answer is hell yeah, then there you go.
Now, I'm not a lady.
Uh-huh.
And I am not one of those super sexy twinks that get inundated with messages. I think both of us are of the not even the spam bots reach out message and stuff. But I do know that being just overwhelmed with inappropriate images is a real problem for a lot of folks using these apps.
Yeah.
It makes it almost unusable.
I keep mentioning buttholes, by the way. If you're one of our straight listeners who don't have many gay friends, then you may not know that chest, torso, and dick pics are just how you say hello.
Mm-hmm.
And then people save up the butthole pic. That is the seductive, hey, baby, do you want to come back to my place?
But it's not that attractive. It's like, it's, come on now. People it's poop from that. It's not
photogenic. Even if you are
out of that, it's disgusting.
Even if you are into it, it's just not a photogenic part of the body.
No, no. Feces, very photogenic. Now, Britain's Got Talent got into a bit of hot water because it was next to a bathhouse.
Okay. Now, that was a bad pun. You should be ashamed of yourself.
You're welcome. Yeah. It was building up some steam there before I got to the real joke.
You're not allowed to talk anymore. This absolutely is preposterous.
So Britain's Got Talent is much like America's Got Talent or The X Factor, that kind of travels around the country with people performing to try and make it to the later rounds. It's a talent show, essentially. Yeah. And they were in one, I think it was in Leeds. Maybe in Leeds, I'm not sure exactly where it was. So a lot of people were upset because it's next to a gay bar.
Okay.
Next to a bathhouse. Okay. Now, for our listeners, there are very few spaces that are very much gay. There are very few surviving gay pubs.
And not LGBT, not queer, but like gay men.
Yeah, so in a bathhouse, it is much like it says on the tin, lots of people going in for bathes and showers. Bathes. I don't know where that word coming. Showers, steam rooms, jacuzzis.
Yeah.
There is some bathing that happens in the bathhouse.
Usually after.
Yeah.
Other things.
That happens in the bathhouse.
Because there's also...
We'll let our listeners come to their own conclusions.
Private rooms with a locking door and one bed in it. There's a lot of that. Yeah,
for a nap. If you want a nap in between your baths. Now, so that happens. And there aren't that many of them. They're quite rare now.
Yeah.
And there is a very long history of it. So one of the ignition points for the gay rights movement in Canada was the bathhouse raids in Toronto, Project Soap.
And Montreal. The Olympic cleanup, which, ironically, every time they busted a bathhouse in Montreal, they just got more protests. And then Montreal got a reputation for being the gayest city in North America. Which, if they had left well enough alone, there would be no reputation.
Because people wouldn't... Yeah.
So ironic. Anyway, yeah, history's funny. So
there aren't that many of them. But at the end of the day, there are very, very few spaces for men to gather. Very few pubs left.
Yeah.
Very few bathhouses. And bathhouses offered an opportunity where, you know, you get like sleazy strip joints. You get, you know, there are straight equivalents of what this is. But there is a sort of history of bathhouses being painted as seedy dens of sin, almost.
It depends on the nature of the bathhouse. So they're the New York, San Francisco style bathhouse. And Chicago and Detroit did this to a degree as well. But it's usually, if you're talking about this type of bathhouse, you're talking about New York or San Francisco, where you have the bathhouse in the back. You have the dark rooms, the private rooms, the showers, the spa. You have the gym where the gym equipment isn't used. And in the front, you have like a full resto bar and live entertainment. So house music, as we know, was mostly developed by one black gay DJ called Frankie Knuckles, based out of Chicago, who played in bathhouses. Tori Amos got her start in bathhouses. There's a few other people who got their start in bathhouses. And of course, they have all blanked out of my mind right now. Mm-hmm.
But the reason why the Britain's Got Talent people were upset was that they're, you know, we're coming to go see this show and there are children.
Yes.
Well, it's not like some like street sweepers pushing the kids through an open door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not there with giant butterfly nets catching children.
And bathhouses don't let a lot of people in.
No. Like, you have to also be of age to get in. Like, it is absolutely ridiculous. It's like...
A lot of them, you have to, like, show them your ID. You have to get a... not a subscription. What is it? You have to become a member.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of bathhouses do that. And then the main reason why they do that is they can revoke your membership if you're a bad customer.
Yeah, and chuck you out.
So it's they're not just going to let people wander in off the street. Although actually some bathhouses have a program where they set aside a couple of the private rooms for homeless queer youth so that they have a bed to sleep on. Which unfortunately can be exploited, but usually the clerks who run the joint make sure that nobody tries to proposition them while they're just like washing, sleeping, and then heading out to do mm-hmm. whatever social services they have to attend to during the day. Like, there's potential for good programming involved.
Yeah, there's some social good that comes out of them. But it's
not
that,
much, but it is there.
But it's that the idea of them being dens of sin and impropriety. And,
I mean, you know, they are also that.
They are also that.
Yeah. let's not go halfway.
You
on
know,
this.
Your children aren't at risk lining up outside the front door. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's not large butterfly nets. Like, yeah. I don't know what, and nothing that would happen inside would ever happen outside.
It would be like if you're in a grocery store. I mean, now in Ontario, you can sell wine, beer, and cider in a grocery store. It'd be like if an 8-year-old walks past the wine aisle and some clerk just grabs them, like, pulls the cork out of a bottle of wine
and
with
their teeth.
Drowns
them in Pinot Grigio. Just,
like, shoves it down their throat. You will enjoy this Beaujolais. Like, that is...
Take the Moscato.
That is, like, when we hear about people being afraid of a bathhouse that they're not even welcome in the first place, like, that's the imagery that comes yeah. up. Just, like, forcing this, like, rosé down an 8-year-old's throat.
Our recruitment strategy isn't, like, tricking people into bathhouses. Like,
no, our recruitment strategy is mostly good music.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Style. That's a good one.
Peaches, apparently.
Peaches. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to jump to our first song, which is Ria May's Trixie, a new track by Ria May. And we'll be back just after this.
Sweet little dog, drunk at the bar, crushing cigarettes. You don't know how beautiful you are. Dance on the stage, you are the star. When the songs are done, you don't know how beautiful you are. Oh, baby, how you light it up, making them fall in love. Oh, you're spinning like a record track. The lights are hot, gonna lose control. Please don't lose my number. Hey, Trixie, can you meet me by the corner? I'll leave the light on. Can you feel me? I'm addicted. I'll leave the light on. Sweet little bird, don't say a word. I'll be waiting here. You don't know how beautiful you are. You don't know my name. You might know my face. I gotta say, you don't know how beautiful you are. Oh, baby, how you light it up, making them fall in love. Oh, you're spinning like a record track. The lights are hot, gotta lose control. Please don't lose my number. Hey, Trixie, can you meet me by the corner? I'll leave the light on. Need you undercover. Hey, Trixie, can you feel me? I'm addicted. And cigarettes, you don't know how beautiful you are. Dance on the stage, you are the star. When the songs are done, you don't know how beautiful you are. Please don't lose my number. Hey, Trixie, can you meet me by the corner? I'll leave the light on. Need you undercover. Hey, Trixie, can you?
Hello and welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
And how do you feel about balls in Montreal, Sebastian?
Please explain. Because I can tell you right now, I have many possible opinions about that. It depends on how you define your terms.
How I'm defining...
Technically, cheese curd could be considered balls from Montreal.
Yeah, we're not talking about cheese curd.
But it's so delicious, and the good stuff is squeaky on your teeth. There's people in the world who've never had squeaky cheese. They've never had squeaky cheese.
I don't like squeaky cheese.
Oh, man, I love squeaky cheese. Oh, it is a thing. Squeaky cheese is the only, because cheese usually takes anywhere from like a week to a couple years to be made. But squeaky cheese is the only cheese where you can eat cheese where the milk that made it came out of the cow that morning. It is fresh cheese and it is delightful. But we're talking about balls.
No, I'm actually talking about the 18 shades of gray.
Okay.
Sorry, gay. The 18 shades of gay, which if anyone's been to Montreal on St. Catherine Street, not Rue Saint-Catherine.
Those balls!
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. So
those are lovely!
So they have these strings with baubles.
Yeah.
On them.
They look like Christmas baubles, and they're spheres made out of little LEDs, and they're all over the place, and they're different sizes, and they're layered up, and it's got that sort of like, you know, the when things are in chaotic clusters of different shapes and sizes, they can look really pretty, and it's like that all over the place.
It's a 1 kilometer stretch of the road, have these strings from one side to the next, and there's 18 different shades of color as a way. And if you go to the end, there's actually a stairs up to a bridge where you can actually climb up onto the bridge and see the kilometer of shaded rainbow balls behind you. Now, they're being taken down.
What?
They are, yeah. Why? No, it's the end of... it was supposed to be temporary.
Oh.
It was actually only supposed to be up for a very short amount of time. Much like the Toronto sign.
Well, they've been there for years.
At City Hall. The Toronto sign at City Hall was also supposed to be temporary. People loved it.
Which sign?
The one that says Toronto.
Oh!
Yeah. That was only supposed to be there like for like 3 months. And now they're building a brand new one that's designed to last.
Because they have an Ottawa one in the market.
Yeah.
But it's facing the wrong way. And
so if you're on Sussex, it's a Tawo.
Yeah, yeah. And all the letters in Ottawa are reversible. Oh, so
Awato.
When you're on the wrong side, it looks like the right side. It's like a B can be, if it's flipped, you know it's a backwards B. But anyway. Yeah.
Ottawa is Awato.
Yeah.
I like Awato.
It's facing the wrong way.
Anyway, so these 180,000 baubles are now up for sale.
180,000?
Yeah. Well, you could buy a string of them, sort of one side to the other.
They're like for disco ball shaped, though. They're huge. You're not going to put that in your living room.
I was there a little... they're not that big. They're maybe the size of like...
like a watermelon?
No. More like a cantaloupe.
A cantaloupe.
No, not a cantaloupe.
No, they're
more like
bigger than that.
No, I'm thinking like maybe like a grapefruit. The grapefruit size.
Like the head of a small child.
No. The head of a baby. It's about, it's about that big. Yeah, about grapefruit size.
Okay.
And anyway, the idea is that for $100 you can buy one of these 180,000. I don't think there's 180,000 strings, but you can buy. And what they're doing is they're actually raising money for the next art installation.
Okay, because I was thinking, like, if you just want lights, you can get a string of LEDs and you can go to...
They're not lights, they're baubles.
They're baubles. And you could go to... I know, but you can get a string of LEDs and then you go to, like, IKEA or Pier 1 Imports. And you know how they have, like, bins of dumb things that they want you to just put on your coffee table? They always have those, like, balls of wicker. They have those wicker balls that's just, like, a stick, and then it's, like, put into a sphere. And if you just wrap your LEDs around that, you'll get the same effect. And it'll probably cost you, like, $20 instead of $100. But if the extra $80 is going to a good cause, then absolutely you should look into buying one of those Montreal balls, if possible. I don't get that, by the way. Like, there have been times where I tease my mother about this sort of thing all the time. Once I went to visit my mom, she had in the corner of the living room a giant vase, and it was just filled with sticks. It was a vase filled with sticks. It is a very 2010s kind of a thing. We're going to look back on this in 20 years and laugh at it the way that people laugh at the combination of orange and chocolate brown in the 60s and 70s. Just like, what were they thinking? There's going to be all these pictures of, like, you know, interior decor articles from this era. It's just going to be, why are there vases filled with sticks in every room? And why are those sticks spray painted like off pink? Like, it's a weird trend. I don't get it. My mom said
peacock feathers. Everyone has peacock feathers.
This is how my mother defended her vase of sticks. She said, I didn't pay for them. I just went down into the valley and picked them up off the forest floor myself. Therefore, it's not stupid because she didn't spend money on it. It's just weird instead of being stupid and weird. So that was her justification.
So they were put up in 2011.
Okay.
And for the first 7 years, they were just different shades of pink.
Okay.
That were just along there.
I think I saw them at that phase.
And then
that's when I first saw them. I thought it was
lovely.
Then
they became rainbow colored.
Okay.
So now it's all. They were actually supposed to be retired last year, but
for those of you who don't know, St. Catherine Street is the gay village.
Yeah,
in
it's
Montreal.
The gay village area, yeah. And it's about the kilometer is now, which is this blanket of rainbow.
Aww.
From one end to the other. Now, unfortunately, it was supposed to be torn down last year, but then everybody was like, no!
Because they're beautiful.
They are beautiful. So then they were given like an extra year lease of life. So it's actually the landscape artist who created this exhibit that actually wants to take it down to put a new one up. So it's kind of, and that's, I actually agree with it. Montreal is really known for public art, public
yes.
art spaces.
Yeah.
St. Catherine Street actually moves into the sort of the art district as
yeah.
well. And I kind of agree with the idea of if it's a public art installation, giving a different art installation an opportunity to exist.
Yeah.
You know, I can get that.
There's a term for this. It's called ephemera, that it's only beautiful because it's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you can buy the balls, and $10 from every $100 purchase goes to three different local Montreal LGBT charities.
Oh, that's good.
So they've teamed up with some local charities in the LGBT community.
Okay.
There.
Maybe don't go to IKEA and get a wicker ball and wrap it in.
No.
You should spend money on this.
Montreal is also putting a bid in for World Pride 2023.
Okay.
So hopefully whatever iconic landscaping that comes to replace these beautiful bars will be just as nice.
I hope they do something like they did in Poland. I don't remember what the city was in Poland, where they had the rainbow and people kept defacing it, so they just shone a rainbow onto a water fountain and they're like, try spray painting this.
Yeah, in Eastern Europe, a large number of
but it
LGBT
was beautiful.
Monuments.
The rainbow waterfall was gorgeous. I thought it was a great move.
So they just had a spray coming out of like just some jets in the ground.
Yeah.
Flush to the ground so you can block them. Going in, and then they just shined light on it.
Yeah.
And it made a rainbow.
Yeah.
And it was a graffiti proof.
Not an actual rainbow. It's not like the water mist and then they shot like a white light through it and it split into a rainbow. It was they shot colored lights through it in a rainbow pattern.
No, I think they made an actual rainbow.
They did not make an actual rainbow with a beam of white light.
Yeah, that was the whole thing.
We're going to look it up after
they
this.
They made it an actual rainbow. Anyway, that was what was happening there. Chick-fil-A, tell me your feelings.
Well, this is where I prefaced this, in which wheat makes me explode-y.
Yes.
So I will never be eating at Chick-fil-A for the same reason that I will be never eating at KFC. And it's just, it does not agree with my sensibilities, and I don't like spending an entire day on the toilet. So, but as an institution, it's one of those things where at first you're like, ew, and then you get under the hood and you're like, oh, okay, that's nothing. And then you go even deeper and you're like, okay, wait a minute, this is complicated. So the protests about
Chick-fil-A has opened a store in Toronto.
Right, okay, yes.
Okay.
All right, I am indifferent.
So the reason why this is controversial is because Chick-fil-A has a charity.
Right.
That it funnels a bunch of profits to this particular foundation. The foundation then gives them tax credits.
Yeah.
A lot of big corporations have charities. The
yes.
post office has its own charity.
McDonald's has the kids thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Chick-fil-A has its own.
Yeah.
But this charity, the foundation, has almost exclusively given money to massive anti-gay charities. So charities that are advocating and pushing conversion therapy.
Mm-hmm.
The Family Values, which took a lot of the gay marriage in the States to court.
To be more clear, they're donating to Christian and Family Values institutions, which happen to have strong anti-gay things. It's not the whole purpose.
Well,
is...
Chick-fil-A puts some of its profits into a foundation.
Yeah.
This foundation only gives money to what are rather radical Christian organizations.
Okay.
That's what the issue is.
All right.
That's why people don't like Chick-fil-A. Also, the CEO has said some stupid things in his time.
Yeah.
And so now Chick-fil-A is looking at opening up to about 15 stores in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big protest in the morning of Chick-fil-A arriving in Toronto. Some LGBT folks from the 519 and other centers kind of gathering and protesting. But you don't think the protests would achieve much?
Well, the main reason why is the things that they're trying to achieve a lot of these things, like, we are now far enough down the path on a lot of issues, civil rights issues, human rights issues, that I don't think a Christian organization is going to be able to reverse it without massive backlash. I mean, there are even non-gay, non-Loghouse Republicans who are now completely indifferent, which is a step forward from 30 years ago when they used to be anti-gay. But now it's just like, I don't really know what they're going to achieve.
Chick-fil-A as a corporation,
yeah,
their values, what they hold dear, is the biblical definition of marriage,
right,
which is often seen as exclusionary to LGBT people. And they fund that quite heavily.
Okay.
And some of the organizations that they funded have taken gay marriage to court, mm-hmm, have pushed allegedly for conversion therapy.
Now, is that the actual corporate entity of Chick-fil-A? Or yeah, is that members of the board?
No. Chick-fil-A,
okay,
opens its own charity foundation, which in turn exclusively funds.
Okay, but let's say you're an employee. You are a mid-level manager at Chick-fil-A. You are gay. You are legally married to your gay partner because you live in New York State or something. Do they deny you spousal benefits against the New York law?
Chick-fil-A, just like everybody else, has to abide by the law.
Right.
Is what it is.
Right.
But their foundation is supporting organizations such as the Salvation Army,
yeah,
which are also advocating for the legal right under religious grounds,
right, yeah,
to be able to fire gay people. So the person in your example may well work at Chick-fil-A,
yeah, yeah,
but the profits from Chick-fil-A goes to a foundation which goes to an organization that's pushing for him to be legally fired just for being gay.
And this is where it starts getting complicated, because the institution of Chick-fil-A itself is neutral. They're funding
it's
money.
Not.
No, no, no. Okay.
There's no neutrality when you exclusively hand money over to...
What I'm saying is what they're doing is they are giving their profits to other organizations that are being discriminatory. Now, this obviously doesn't forgive them because they're choosing to do that. But if you're an employee at a Chick-fil-A, or if you are a customer who wants to go to Chick-fil-A, they don't care. Like, the institution itself is neutral. It's the top level are funding other institutions that are doing this on their behalf. Now, you know, this is like, you know, the mob don who's never killed anyone but has hired a lot of people to kill on their behalf. Like, are they innocent of killing people when they've never gotten their hands dirty themselves? Actually, that's kind of an apt comparison. And it's kind of complicated. How do you go? You don't go to prison for murder in those cases. You go to prison for a lot of other things. So this is sort of like a complicitness issue. And I think, like, Chick-fil-A obviously has its own issues in the sense that they are promoting these things indirectly.
But I disagree. I disagree with the idea of Chick-fil-A being inculpable in this.
Oh, I don't think they're inculpable, because they're
not
giving money.
They absolutely are not neutral.
Yeah.
For example, they're closed on Sundays.
Okay.
They are closed on Thanksgiving. Like, they are a very Christian-run organization.
Okay, but for me, the main issue, the reason why I don't support the Chick-fil-A protests, I feel like this is just going after low-hanging fruit. If you really care and if you really want to make a difference, go after the institutes they're funding and go after the politicians who permit them to get away with this.
I mean, I disagree, because what's happening in the States is corporate America,
yeah,
is starting to realize that they're not this innocent bystander in all of this.
Yeah.
So we're looking at Chick-fil-A here with the LGBT rights issue.
Okay.
But then a good comparison is actually Walmart.
Oh, God.
Now, for a long time, corporate America...
Major labor abuses.
Corporate America, yeah, has pretended that gun violence is not a corporate America problem. It is a social problem and a political problem.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the vast majority of all people who have committed mass shootings have only been able to afford the weapons through a credit card.
Yeah.
So the credit card companies are complicit in enabling these purchases. Walmart sells 20% of all ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
And was selling a lot of the ammunition that were going into AR-15s and handguns,
yeah,
in these shootings. They've actually stopped doing that. The reason why, I think it was something, a big sporting company, and I think it was Dick's Sports,
in the
States, stopped selling AR-15 style weapons,
yes,
and handguns.
I think they,
as a result,
duckshot and buckshot are the only things they sell, like actual,
yeah,
bullet types that are designed for hunting.
They found that one of the killers had just bought the shotgun from their stores.
Right.
And Walmart, likewise, in El Paso, there was the massive shooting in a Walmart in El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
So Walmart is like, it's like the There's a 1 in 5 chance that the guy who shot up the Walmart bought the ammunition in that Walmart. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because that's where 20% of all the ammunition comes from.
Right, yeah.
So they're realizing that waiting for politicians to go and sort it out, waiting for civil society to do a thing, is not acceptable. Corporate America and corporate Canada, by extension, are not innocent bystanders. By allowing and facilitating these things to happen, they have a stake in it, which is why Walmart issued a press release asking for don't bring weapons in open carry states, won't be carrying assault-style weapons, limiting the amount of ammo they sell. And it's the idea that Chick-fil-A is coming into the Canadian market to make money.
They want
to make money off of Canadians. Mm-hmm. And that money is going to go back to the States, and it'll be funneled up to the top, and then it'll go to these radical organizations.
Right, yeah.
And there are people being like, do I want my money to go there? Do I want my money to support these, to end up down the food chain?
Yeah.
I do agree that there are perhaps more effective ways of advocating it.
It really just, for me, it comes down to the fact that, like, Walmart is across the street from you, but Lockheed Martin, you would actually have to drive and have to make an effort to go and protest Lockheed Martin. And I think Lockheed Martin is way more culpable than Walmart and the credit card companies.
I disagree. Neely, where would you... You don't buy guns from Lockheed Martin.
No, but Lockheed Martin pays for the activists to go to Parliament to be able to open up more gun laws and sell to more people. They have a bigger invested...
all of these guns are bought in sporting stores, in Walmart.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the retail sector.
But they're legalized in the first place because the government was pressured to allow civilians to buy assault rifles. Mm-hmm. So... But anyway, point being, I mean, it's a whole network of things. Like, complicated situations don't have simple causes. You know, this is one of those situations where, like, we're going to get off the gun violence thing and just talk about this. So that you've got Chick-fil-A, you've got Salvation Army, you've got bad politicians who got elected in the government somehow. You've got all the Christian institutions that support that, the bad Christian institutions that support that, because there's also good Christian institutions that are trying to help people and da-da-da-da. So it's all this network, and... you're not going to collapse this web of bad politics by not buying chicken.
Well, I disagree. I think if enough people choose to just buy chicken from any of the other hundreds of chicken places in Toronto...
Swiss Chalet is a Canadian brand.
Then what it does is...
And Swiss Chalet is gluten-free, by the way.
Swiss Chalet got bought up by somebody, didn't they?
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I hope they don't change their menu. I can actually eat there.
So, I mean, years ago... But if people just bought their food elsewhere and just chose not to go to Chick-fil-A, then they won't have the momentum to put up 15 stores, you know, and won't make bank on the back of Canadians. People choose where to send their money.
Absolutely.
And I think it's about, maybe it's a generational thing, but now people are like, there are 20 places that can send me chicken.
Yeah.
10 of them are decent.
Yeah.
8 of them are local businesses. I choose that one.
I mean, I'll always choose the local business anyway. But that's, I come from a small business family. I'm very strongly feeling with that. But the other thing is that protesting the company is not going to do half as much as convincing other Canadians to not go there. Mm-hmm. And yelling at them, like, you are a Nazi, a literal Hitler, because you bought Chick-fil-A, is not the way that you're going to do it. Because we're already seeing a backfire effect where... And this is, there was all sorts of news reports out of Toronto where the more people were protesting, the more you had other people who were quite frankly indifferent, who insisted on buying it despite the weird green-haired people with nose piercings across the street who were saying, hey, hey, ho, ho, something or other has got to go. And by the way, we need to retire that chant because it's always been annoying.
Yeah.
And so we're getting backfire effect already where the nature of the protesting, I don't necessarily disagree with the protesting. I need to make this clear. I do not disagree with the nature of the protesting. My concern is that their effort would be better spent doing something more effective.
You know what would be more effective, I think? Free samples of very good chicken from other chicken restaurants.
Mm.
You know, if you rolled up with a great big box of free samples, here, go to this place, it's cheaper and tastier, and just send their business to better chicken places.
Yeah.
Also, nobody dislikes free samples. Everybody likes free samples.
Well, I don't trust free samples.
Oh, because of the explosions.
Partly because the explosions, but also because I feel like they're trying to manipulate me.
Well, that is true. Now, conversion therapy is one of those things I mentioned earlier as being one of the things that could be funded as a result of the money to the corporation to charity foundation, blah, blah, blah. Now, there is a letter circulating in the Christian world in Canada.
Right.
With 270 clergy having already signed on to it.
Okay.
They're clergy from United Churches, Anglican Churches, Lutheran Churches, Christian Reformed Churches, and even the Mennonites.
That one surprised me. Like, if you put anything progressive, United, Unitarian, and a subset of the Anglicans, they're just on there. If they're not on there, something weird is going on. I'm surprised the Friends aren't on there. The Friends of Christ, also known as the Quakers?
They may be.
They're not organized. That's the thing. They're a bottom-up structure. So they probably do support it, but they don't have a leadership.
So this letter essentially disavows conversion therapy.
Right.
Affirms that LGBT people are all made in God's image because everybody is made in God's image.
Right.
And therefore should all be loved as the products of God, I suppose, where that goes.
And some of them should just be loved.
Yeah. No, it's... anyway, there's a lot of people saying that essentially conversion therapy, no. Gay people, yes.
Yes.
It also was a major theme that came up around the Moncton Pride a couple of weeks ago. So for Moncton in New Brunswick, a lot of people having a conversation at that point about conversion therapy. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people would have heard that in South Carolina, one of the founders of a conversion therapy camp just came out as gay.
Right.
I think three different people messaged me that story.
Yes.
Because I'm like, okay, well, I found this out 2 days ago, guys. Like, come on.
I mean, every time I think about gay conversion therapy camps, all I can think about is, but I'm a cheerleader, where you've seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the person who ran the gay conversion therapy camp? It was RuPaul. And that was the big joke, that like the gayest person on the campus is the person who owns and operates it. And that is pretty universal across the board.
So some of these former gay camp people, because this is not new.
Right, no.
Conversion therapy camps.
But I'm a cheerleader is from the 90s. It's an old movie now, yeah.
But it's not, like, every couple of years, one of these Pray the Gay Away radicals comes out as gay.
Yeah.
Like, it's internalized trauma. It's just, it does more damage than it's worth.
It's also and like...
a bunch of them have apologized for the hurt they've caused.
That was between quotation marks.
Oh, yeah, I quoted that.
Yeah. It's sort of like when a homophobic Republican gets exposed as having sex with an underage male prostitute, and everyone's just... Now we shrug it off, like, well, there you go again.
So we're going to play our next song. This is actually by the person who messaged us. It is one of their tracks.
Yeah, because we just noticed, like, sent his fan mail, and then we noticed there was a picture attached to the thing, and it was him holding a guitar. I'm like, is he in a band? And then one thing led to another, and it...
Yeah, well, this is Standard Issue Pleasure Model is the name of the band, and this is Private Reserve, and we will be back just after this.
Say got nothing to say.
welcome back to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is still Luke Smith.
I am Sebastian.
Hello, Sebastian. Now, I want to talk about the... Whoops-a-daisy. The crazy serial killer, Bruce MacArthur, who... we're not going to really be talking about him, but we're going to be talking about the office of the Ontario Chief Coroner.
Okay. As
because
one does.
The Chief Coroner's Office in the province of Ontario.
Or Corey, as we like to call him.
Bob. We'll call him Bob for sure.
The office, think the coroner should be nicknamed Corey?
The Corey's Office? Corey? Yeah. Corey Office?
Corey's Office. Makes him sound like a 90s boy band member.
Oh my gosh.
With the curtains, that horrible haircut that parted down the middle. I'm so glad the 90s are
so
over.
So the Chief Coroner, Duke Hoyer, whose office has the Domestic Violence Death Review Committee... I think it was the Globe and Mail that did a great article on this. So in the Chief Coroner's office, there is the Domestic Violence Death Review Committee, which looks at death caused by intimate partner violence or domestic abuse.
Okay.
And they've issued a decision that they're not going to be reviewing the murder cases in the Bruce MacArthur murders.
Okay.
Now, for those who may not be familiar, Bruce MacArthur killed 8 gay men based in the village in Toronto.
Confirmed to have killed 8 men, possibly
at
more.
Least 8.
Yeah.
All 8 of whom may not have identified as gay, but that was sort of where he met them.
Yeah.
He met them through gay dating apps. He'd had a sexual relationship with a number of them.
Okay.
And a lot of people are taking issue with the coroner's office here by excluding Bruce MacArthur's murders from being intimate partner violence. So that really breaks down into a definition. Was this a intimate partner violence crime?
Right.
Or was it something else? Was the fact that he's being treated as a hate crime and a serial murder distracting from the intimate partner's intimacy side of it?
So, I mean, okay, so first I would want to know, and this is not me saying that I am skeptical or I don't think it should exist. This is actually just a definitional issue. Why is there a separate committee for victims of intimate partner violence? Like, what are you supposed to be gaining from that? And depending on the answer to that would be whether or not I think they should apply it. So
the Domestic Violence Death Review Panel looks at cases where... a death has been caused by a spouse or a partner, dating partner or something. And really it looks at sort of patterns and if there's any multiple occurrences of the same person and things like that. They're really looking at it sort of...
So it's a data picture. Collection sort of
yeah.
prevention through understanding kind of yeah. thing. Well, but in that case, then yeah, absolutely. They should totally look at this.
And that's part of the case here is that some people are arguing that how people understand domestic violence and sort of spousal violence...
Yeah.
doesn't lend itself very well to the gay community because there's a lot more casual sex, a lot more, you know, friends with benefits, sort of intimacy, but without the strings attached.
And it looks different.
Yeah, so you may not have a built-up pattern of abuse over time because that's sort of what they look, one of the signatures of domestic violence is a slow escalation of violence. But that's something you would see in typically heterosexual monogamous relationship, which is that slow buildup. And in the LGBT community, there's less, I think, monogamy and sexual norms.
Yeah, I've known a few gay men who have been abused by their partners. And quite often, this is not across the board, but quite often it is sudden and it is dramatic. It is, their partner is non-abusive and then one day they just get put in hospital. Like the ramping up is a very different pattern. It should be studied. And if you're looking at something like Bruce MacArthur, like I've read that it's been accused that he only dated them for long enough to build up the trust to be able to do the stuff that he did, which makes it more of an exploitation and less of an actual relationship. But the fact that it's on the fringes in the gray area means they have to look at it because the exception to the rule or the areas where you're not sure if it fits, that's the area where you have to look at it the most because you learn so much. Like, you know, if you're to say an echidna is not a mammal because an echidna lays eggs, which it does, but it also gives milk. By studying seeing the weirdness that is the echidna or the platypus. You learn so much about mammals and about egg-laying non-lizards. Like, you get so much information out of this, even if they're not going to qualify it as domestic abuse. By investigating the situation, they will learn more about domestic abuse and how they operate
specifically
around
in the LGBT community. So
or especially, not necessarily specifically, but they could learn more about it through this.
Bruce MacArthur Kilday, there are a number of his previous sexual partners who also reported violence in their brief relationships.
Right.
So this is a man who is violent in LGBT or gay intimate relationships.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the point that a lot of other experts are pointing to here, is that gay spaces, you're less likely to see that sort of normal structure of monogamous overtime buildup of violence. Mm-hmm. And because that was missing from what happened in these murders...
And even when you do see that, it might look different.
Yeah, in male-on-male domestic violence, it is often much more sudden, much more extreme.
Yeah.
Death is usually a more likely outcome.
Yeah.
And that's just... So LGBT domestic violence is very little understood.
Yeah.
And I think this is maybe the coroner's office falling into that trap of how LGBT people have relationships doesn't always follow that norm.
Yeah.
And that really begs the question. Bruce MacArthur had sexual relations with a number of these men.
Yeah.
Was violent in a number of other relationships. Does domestic violence review panel, should they be looking at those? I think maybe they should.
I think if they're to say we are unprepared for this and some other group is going to do this instead. Because like domestic assault and partner abuse sometimes fall under sort of the health area. So if, you know, Health Ontario Santé investigates this instead, because they're probably better prepared, better suited, more informed, better educated. They probably have more diversity on their committee anyway, because I know that the Ontario Health Ministry is actually really big into this sort of thing. If the coroner's office, if Big Corey were to say, we are not prepared for this, some other branch that has more experience is going to do this on our behalf.
What?
Then I would be like, that's not ideal, but that's fair. But I'm willing to put $5. That is not what's happening.
No, Dirk Hoyer said in an interview that they won't be looking into it because it doesn't fall under the committee's definition.
So no one's going to look into
it. The definition being all homicides that involve the death of a person and or his or her child, children, committed by the person's partner or ex-partner from an intimate relationship, saying that the majority of cases have a pattern of ongoing violence between a couple who are in an intimate relationship that is ongoing and have had multiple systems in place. And so they're saying it doesn't fit in our definition because it's not ongoing and hasn't been ongoing. And people are saying,
I mean,
a lot of gay relationships don't fit that definition.
Yeah.
So are they missing a lot of domestic violence cases by having such a narrow scope?
I mean, it's not great. This kind of reflects the chaotic nature of same-sex relationships, but 2 months is considered a pretty long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about like 19-year-olds. I'm talking about like
lesbians have moved in and got married by that point.
Yeah, like 30, you know, 30 and above. Even then, dating for 2 months is, you know, that's
an achievement.
It's not bad.
Now
this definition looks like it starts at 2 months.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's partly. The bar is weird and different.
Let's get your opinion, folks. Should casual dating be included or understood to be as part of intimate partners, intimacy and
sim-sex? What are your opinions on that?
Let us know at Talkan Queer on the Book of Faces and on the Twitter. We have run out of time. We're playing out with Freddie Mercury's Love Me Like There Is No Tomorrow.
Isn't that the new release?
Just got a new video release for it. It's quite a neat video, which you can't see because this is an audio format, but check it out, look it up. I've been Luke Smith.
And I have been Sebastian, and thanks for listening. You had to kill the conversation. You always had the upper hand. Got caught in love and stepped in sinking sand. You had to go and ruin.
separate ways. I don't have all that far to go. God knows I've learned to play the lonely man. I've never felt so low in all my life. We were born to be just losers. So I guess there's a limit on how far we go. But we only have one more day to get on. So love me like there's no tomorrow. Today just love.